Mooney. Saw whatever befell him as the mercy of Krishna. This is described by Lord Brahma himself. This quality of seeing all as Krishna's mercy is a qualification for attaining the lotus feet of Krishna. Lord Brahma explains, jivata mukti pade. One attains mukti or liberation just by having this quality and paying one's obeisances to Krishna regardless of what occurs. So Narada Muni, even though a young boy, he had this. And when his mother died, although he was superficially completely dependent and bound with her, he took that as the opportunity that Krishna was allowing him to become free from all material entanglement so he could use his life in pursuance of the spiritual quest. So he immediately left home. What direction did he head? North. He headed north and wandered around, not caring for the conventions of ordinary society, the niceties of ordinary society, and he just simply fixed his mind upon Krishna. And then, thinking about all that the Bhaktivedantas had told him, he began to meditate as he had been instructed, and by virtue of his meditation, the Lord appeared in his heart. The Lord appeared. He had darshan, or he was able to see the Lord within his heart, and he became ecstatic. Each of his senses became independently ecstatic, wishing to serve Krishna, full of their own ecstasies. And then, all of a sudden, much to Narada's consternation, the Lord disappeared. Which was such a shock for Narada Muni, because he had so much desire to see the Lord, and then the Lord was there, and suddenly the Lord disappeared. And Narada Muni's meditation broke. He stood up, and he began looking everywhere. He tried to meditate again, trying to get the Lord back within his heart, but the Lord would not come. And then suddenly Narada Muni, in his frustration, heard the Lord's voice, which satisfied his heart to some degree, because the Lord and his voice were not different. And the Lord said, Hantasmin janmane bhava mamam vashtam ivarhati ivapakwa kashayanam didarsham kuyogina. I regret to tell you, my dear Narada, that you will not be able to see me again in this life. Why? You have come to me out of your kindness already. Why am I not able to see you again or still see you further? And the Lord said, because I came to you out of my special mercy to you to increase your eagerness. Tatra loyam apimulam ikalam. But this is the price that one has to pay. Sri Ramananda Roy says, the price is one's intense greed or eagerness. Without that, or if we are bahu shaka tvanantascha buddhaya avyasainam, if we are bahu shaka, if we are many branched in our eagerness, then the resolute determination for devotional service, what to speak of the darshan of the Lord, will never take place. So to have something or to want something and then get it just for a few moments and then lose it makes one think about that thing again and again and again and again. So Narada became fixed in his determination after the Lord spoke. And he wondered. He continued his wondering, and we'll read about that. Text 26. Thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation. What does that mean, repeated recitation? It means that he continuously chanted Krishna's glories, Krishna's name, Krishna's activities, continuously. He ignored all the formalities of the material world. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are benedictory. They award all positive results. And so doing, Narada said, I traveled all over the earth, fully satisfied, humble, and unenvious. Fully satisfied because he was experiencing, to some degree, Krishna through his constant repetition of Krishna's names. And he was humble because he knew that the Lord would only come by his own mercy, and there's nothing really he could do. He did not think himself better than everyone else, but rather he thought himself more insignificant than everyone else and fully dependent on Krishna's mercy. And he was unenvious. He was unenvious of the possessions of others. Why? Because he himself had possessed the greatest of gifts. The most valuable jewel was developing within his heart. So compared to that wonderful jewel of prema that was manifesting within his heart gradually as he advanced, well, how could one compare the material things of this world to that? So if someone had that or someone didn't have a material thing, insignificant, and therefore he was unenvious. And he did not care for the right place or the wrong place. He just chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted and always remembered the pastimes of the Lord and the activities of the Lord and the name of the Lord. Why was he doing this? He was already attracted to Krishna, and he wished to attract the mercy of the Lord, and he understood that it was his natural position to always glorify Krishna. And as Jiva Goswami said, Narada was waiting. Throughout his entire life, he just wandered around chanting and chanting and chanting and remembering the Lord, waiting for the grace of the Lord, for the mercy of the Lord to be bestowed upon him. He was so eager to again have the darshan of the Lord. He was so eager to again see Krishna. He was just waiting for Krishna to bestow his grace upon him. This is a very advanced stage of devotional service. Prabhupada explains in his purport. The life of a sincere devotee of the Lord is thus explained in a nutshell by Narada Muni by his personal example. Such a devotee, after his initiation by the Lord or his bona fide representative, takes very seriously chanting of the glories of the Lord and traveling all over the world so that others may also hear the glories of the Lord. Such devotees have no desire for material gain. They are conducted by one single desire. Vyavya satmika buddhi ekeha. This one desire. They're conducted by one single desire to go back to Godhead. Janmani, janmani, share bhavatat bhaktya. Nadanam, nadjanam, nasundarim. Kavitam va jagadisha kamani. No other desire except for the Lord's service. Because they're conducted by one single desire to go back to Godhead. This awaits them in due course on quitting the material body. Because they have the highest aim of life, going back to Godhead, they are never envious of anyone, nor are they proud of being eligible to go back to Godhead. Their only business is to chant and remember the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord, and according to personal capacity, to distribute the message for others' welfare without motive of material gain. So Narada did this, continuously and simply wandering, chanting, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Waiting, expecting for Krishna to bestow his causeless mercy upon him. And so, O Brahmana Vyas, because Narada is explaining this to Vyasadeva, in due course of time, I, who was fully absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and who therefore had no attachments, no material attachments, became completely freed from all material taints and met with death as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously. Prabhupada's purport. To be fully absorbed in the thought of Krishna means clearance of material dirt or hankering. As a very rich man has no hankering for small petty things, so also a devotee of Lord Krishna, who is guaranteed to pass on to the kingdom of God where life is eternal, fully cognizant and blissful, naturally has no hankering for petty material things, which are like dolls, or shadows of the reality and are without permanent value. That is the sign of spiritually enriched persons. What is the sign of spiritually enriched persons? Of spiritually enriched persons? No hankering for petty material things. And what is a petty material thing? It is everything material. Not just things smaller than a bread box. All material things that are petty, which are petty. And in due course of time, when a pure devotee is completely prepared, all of a sudden, the change of body occurs, which is commonly called death. And for the pure devotee, such a change takes place exactly like lightning and illumination follow simultaneously. What an example! Lightning flashes. The lightning bolt flashes in the sky. And that very, very, very instant, without a moment's pause, illumination occurs. It is not that the lightning flashes and then there, after some time, the illumination. No, instantaneously. So, what does that mean? That is to say, such an exalted personality such as Narada Muni, who is freed from all material taints. And how did he become free from material taints? The reason why the Lord said that he could not see him again was because it was avipakva Kashayanam, he had material taints. So how did he become free from those material taints? By always, constantly chanting Krishna's names, remembering the Lord, and always expecting the Lord's mercy by being fixed in his one-pointed determination to go back to Godhead. So that freed him. Chaito darpana marjanam. That freed him. So that simultaneous lightning and illumination means, that is to say, a devotee simultaneously changes his material body, the material body falls down and develops a spiritual body by the will of the Supreme. Even before death, so that means that when one dies, if one is exalted in consciousness in this way, when one dies, instantaneously, the sarup, or the form of the soul itself, develops. Now it is in a seed, like a seed. If one is an exalted devotee, it fully manifests when the material body dies. So then the question is, does that mean that to live in our eternal identity, we have to wait for the material body to die, and then our spiritual personality will develop? So Prabhupada explains in the last sentence, even before death, a pure devotee has no material affection due to his body's being spiritualized like a red hot iron in contact with fire. So no, the material body is no longer a material body for an exalted devotee. It is fully spiritualized. It is not the same as a spiritual body, but it is a spiritualized material body. It is closer to a full spiritual body than a material body, because it has the potency of spirit due to its always being immersed in the spiritual energy. And actually also the soul's sarup develops, his nature develops as well. Text 28. So Narada, after traveling the earth for so many years, always chanting, always waiting for Krishna's mercy, his body fell down dead. And instantaneously, the soul that was within that body, it became fully manifest in a transcendental body. Text 28. Having been awarded a transcendental body befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body made of material elements, and thus all acquired fruitive results of work, karma, stopped. So in text 23, if we refer to text 23, when the Lord was talking to Narada as he sat underneath that peepal tree, he told Narada, consequently, a devotee goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up this present deplorable material world. So here is the fulfillment of the Lord's promise to Narada. So when one is out of this material body, one is completely free from the laws of material nature. That means that all the miseries of material life, they stop completely because one is not in contact with the misery-giving forces, the modes of material nature. So then what happened next? So Narada Muni had a spiritual body, but he was in the material world. At the end of the millennium, when the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, lay down within the water of devastation, Brahma began to enter into him along with all the creative elements, and I also entered through his breathing. So at the time, at the end of Lord Brahma's one day, which is 4,320,000,000,000 years, there is a devastation of the universe, complete devastation of the universe. And Brahma, it seems, entered within the body of the Lord, because the whole material creation is again wound up within the Lord at that time. And then it is manifest, and then it is wound up. So after 4,300,000,000,000 solar years, when Brahma awoke to create again by the will of the Lord, all the rishis like Marichi, Angira, Atri and so on were created from the transcendental body of the Lord, and I also appeared along with them. So this is the creation that occurs at the beginning of a day of Lord Brahma. So we have a little bit of information that I'd like to read about this. Jiva Goswami says, that Narada stayed in the Lord's body for a huge amount of time. 4,000 yuga cycles. That means a cycle of 4 yugas. So that's that 4,320,000,000 years. Marichi was a Prajapati mind son of Brahma and also a Marut. His son is Kasyapa. These sages are not exactly born, but they, like Brahma, wake themselves. Narada is actually eternal and not subject to birth. Other sages, Atri, Angiras, Pulan, Pulascha, Kratu, Prachetas, Kaksha, Vashishta, and Bhrigu, they're also in this category. Because this will be described in the third canto. Lord Brahma, after he takes his birth, he begins to create, or after he has his day, he begins to create again. And he has the mental sons, and one of them is, they're just born out of his mind. And one of them is Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is considered the best of those sons because he is the one who embodies devotional service or bhakti, while the other sons embody other exalted methods of elevation. But out of all the methods of elevation, bhakti is the highest and the most wonderful. So therefore, Narada Muni, who embodies that, is considered the best of all of Brahma's sons. So he was born again, and this will be described in the third canto. And since then, by the grace of Almighty Vishnu, I travel everywhere without reservation, both in the transcendental world and the three divisions of the material world. This is because I am fixed in unbroken devotional service of the Lord. So the idea is that everyone is feeling bound, because it is the nature of the soul to want to be completely free, to be unrestricted. But yet every soul is bound. Every soul who is in the material world is bound, forced to do so many things he doesn't want to do, controlled by the three modes of material nature. But yet everyone is longing for freedom. And Narada Muni, he has complete freedom. He can travel anywhere he wants in the spiritual world. He can travel anywhere he wants in the material world. The other sages who are not fixed in bhakti, as Narada Muni is fixed in bhakti, are not unrestricted as Narada is unrestricted. So this is another glory of pure devotional service. So therefore in the verse, Narada said, I'm able to travel everywhere. This is because I'm fixed in unbroken devotional service to the Lord. So anyone who becomes fixed in that way, within pure devotional service, ahaitikiya pratiyata, continuous and uninterrupted, unmotivated, he becomes the truly free person, free from the modes of material nature, free from any encumbrances, hindrances. And there is a very interesting point about freedom, the freedom of the devotee, that will come up in one of the last purports, and we'll wait till then to discuss it. And thus Narada says, and thus I travel, constantly singing the transcendental message of the glories of the Lord, vibrating this instrument called a veena, which is charged with transcendental sound, and which was given to me by Lord Krishna. So the Narada Muni is very famous for his traveling everywhere singing the glories of the Lord and playing upon his veena. And the veena was given to him by Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada, in his purport, explains the notes of the scale are all transcendental. Sa re ga ma pa da ni sa. Do you know them? What are they?
Yeah,
there
are rhythms. Like in English, we go
so re, ni ga, go do. Yeah, do re mi fa. Sa re ga ma. These are the notes of the scale. And our acharyas have explained that these notes of the scale, they are miraculous. They are transcendental, actually. But also, there are different animals that their call sounds one of the notes. Did you know that? I'll tell you what they are. The sa sound of the sa is the sound of a peacock. Sa. Re is the sound of a bull. Ga is the sound of a goat. Na, something like that. Ma is the heron, which is a bird. Pa is the kokil, means the cuckoo. Dha is a horse. Ni is an elephant. You will do your elephant imitation, Bunky Prabhu? Later, okay. So because these notes all express Krishna's glories, they're all transcendental. So Prabhupada explains that all sound should be used in Krishna's service by expressing his glories. Text 33. So Narada Muni now is, remember, this is the end of Narada Muni's story. It started with him as just a young boy. Unfortunate birth, one can say very unfortunate birth. He had no father. He was the son of a maidservant. His mother couldn't protect him or help him in any way. But because he got the association of the Bhaktivedantas, the path of liberation was open before him. And now, years later, actually it's the next day of Brahma already, Narada is fully transcendental in a spiritual body by following the process that we have just heard about. And what does Narada do in his spiritual form? The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. So Narada has this experience because his devotion is pure, his chanting is pure, his calling to Krishna is pure, his glorification of Krishna is pure. And because he purely chants Krishna's names, Krishna immediately appears within his heart. Purport. The absolute personality of Godhead is none different from his transcendental name, form, pastimes, and the sound vibration thereof. As soon as a pure devotee engages himself in the pure devotional service of hearing, chanting, and remembering the name, fame, and activities of the Lord, the Lord at once becomes visible to the transcendental eyes of the pure devotee by reflecting himself on the mirror of the heart by spiritual television. Therefore, a pure devotee who is related with the Lord in loving transcendental service can experience the presence of the Lord at every moment. Yam shama sandra machinte guna surupam. Every moment. Because his every moment is spent in glorification of Krishna. So that means Krishna is there at every moment for him. It is a natural psychology in every individual case that a person likes to hear and enjoy his personal glories enumerated by others. This is a natural instinct, and the Lord, being also an individual personality like others, is not an exception to this psychology, because psychological characteristics visible in the individual souls are but reflections of the same psychology of the personality of in the Absolute Lord. The only difference is that the Lord is the greatest personality of all, and absolute in all his affairs. So the difference is, when we are like to hear our glories, even though we like to hear our glories spoken, That just entangles us more in material consciousness and degrades us. But Krishna, on the other hand, when he is pleased by being glorified, all the glories of him are true. And he is the one who is worthy to be glorified. Therefore he is called Uttama Shloka. He who is glorified by chosen, expertly spoken words. And because he is the absolute truth, he is present when his glories are being chanted. He is actually there. So this is wonderful. Since he is absolute, he can appear himself in the picture of his glorification, the two things being identical. See, Narada chants the glorification of the Lord, not for his personal benefit, but because the glorifications are identical with the Lord. So he always wants to be in the association of Krishna. This is the solution that Narada found, that the Lord said, I will not appear to you again. And Narada always chanted the glories of the Lord, and thus the Lord actually was with him and purifying him so much so that Narada, when he left this world, so Narada Muni penetrates. This is a wonderful sentence. Listen to this carefully. Narada Muni penetrates into the presence of the Lord by the transcendental chanting. That word penetrates is such a wonderful word there. That means that here we are in a different realm. But if our consciousness is imbued with pure devotion, then our chanting will actually penetrate into the presence of the Lord in the spiritual world. And there is no other way actually to penetrate. If one gets in a spaceship, or if one does this, or if one does that, or using great yogic powers, or empties his bank account and pays somebody, one can never, never, never penetrate into the Lord's presence, as long as one's consciousness is materially contaminated. But as soon as one's consciousness is saturated in bhakti, one's chanting of Krishna's names and glories and fame and pastimes and qualities will penetrate it and to the spiritual world, and one will be in the presence of Krishna. So because Narada Muni has personally experienced the glories and the results of chanting in this transcendental consciousness, he therefore in text 34 makes a recommendation to everyone else. It is personally experienced by me that those who are always full of cares and anxieties due to desiring contact of the senses with their objects can cross the ocean of nescience on a most suitable boat, the constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. So Narada is speaking from his experience. Instead of trying to become happy by combining the senses and the sense objects, which actually only causes misery and disturbance, the actual cessation, the stopping of the misery, and the bringing of exalted ecstatic happiness are exactly the same, and that is the constant chanting of the Lord's name. This will be explained also in the second canto. Almost the same words will be used. Prakrit Maharaj will ask what to do of Sukadev Goswami. It is time for my death. And the answer is going to be the same, that you should engage in constantly hearing and chanting about the Lord. Prabhupada explains in his purport that it is impossible for someone to stop talking, practically speaking. Talking about something or another. So we shouldn't even try to stop talking. Rather, what we should do is just change the qualities of our talking. The qualities of our talking should be changed from talking about mundane subject matter to always constantly talking about Krishna. And that will free us from the material world. We must turn our attention fully to Krishna. And the example that Narada uses is of a boat. Because if one is drowning in an ocean, what does one want more than anything else? A boat to get out. Because that is the vehicle that will bring one to the dry land, which is the goal. So the boat is the constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in that wonderful verse, Samas Svitam Ye Parapalava Plavam Mahatpadam Punyaya Shomarari Bhavam Budhiya Vatsapadam Parampadam Padam Padam Yad Vipadam Natesham, that this material world, it is dangerous like a vast ocean. If one is stuck in the ocean, no matter how expert one is at swimming, there is no hope by one's own power. But if one gets rescued, then one can get out. But the ocean is vast and unlimited. So we are stuck in this ocean of birth and death. But when one takes shelter of Krishna or gets the boat, then the size of that ocean shrinks to the size of the water that fills a calf's hoofprint. Vatsapadam, a calf's hoofprint. And it is said that one can cross this ocean by the boat of the sadhu's mercy. And the sadhus have used that boat to get to the other side. But yet, although they've used it to get to the other side, if I use a boat to get to the other side of the river, then it's no longer on this side. But the sadhus have miraculously used the boat and left the boat behind. And what is the boat that they have left behind? The Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of the Lord, so many transcendental literatures. Instructions. These are the boat that can free us from the material activities, the material world. So Prabhupada explains, Krishna, the Almighty Personality of Godhead, by His causeless mercy, descends on the earth and manifests activities almost on the line of worldly men. But at the same time, it's extraordinary because He is almighty. He does so for the benefit of all conditioned souls so that they can turn their attention to transcendence. And if we turn our attention to transcendence, then our consciousness will become saturated in transcendence. And then we, like Narada Muni, will be free. So this is the message, and this is what Narada Muni is telling Vyasadeva, because he's requesting him to compile the Bhagavatam so that living entities, the human beings, will be able to hear the Bhagavatam, study the Bhagavatam, repeat the Bhagavatam, and thus change their attention from mundane talking, thinking, remembering to transcendence. And by doing so, the conditioned soul will gradually be promoted to the transcendental position and easily cross the ocean of nescience, the source of all miseries. This is stated from personal experience by such an authority as Narada Muni, and we can have the same experience also if we begin to follow the footsteps of the great sage, the dearmost devotees of the Lord. Now Narada is going to compare this process of always chanting the Lord's glories with other processes. It is true that by practicing restraint of the senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of desire and lust. Because the lust and anger and desires, they disturb the consciousness so much because they are born of the mode of passion. Passion does not make us happy. Trying to satisfy our desires does not make us happy. So by restraining the senses, this disturbance ends. So through yoga, one can restrain the senses and the disturbance ends. But that is not sufficient to give satisfaction for the soul, to the soul. For this satisfaction is derived from devotional service to the personality of Godhead. So just the restraint of the senses is not a solution, because the soul itself is longing for satisfaction. So it is just a matter of time before that longing of the soul will manifest itself in material sense gratification again for the yogi. But when the soul is actually satisfied in its relationship with Krishna, then there is no reason for the desire for sense gratification to appear, in the same way as a billionaire has, as we heard, has no desire for little petty material things. He already has them. He's surpassed that. Text 36. O Vyasadev. Now Narada is concluding his instructions. You are freed from sins, all sins. Thus I have explained my birth and activities for self-realization as you have asked. Because he had asked these questions. How come you remember what happened in a previous day of Brahma? How did you attain this form of Narada Muni? How did you spend your life after the great sages, the Bhaktivedantas, left? So all this now has been explained by Narada Muni. All this will be conducive for your personal satisfaction also. Sutta Goswami said, thus addressing Vyasadeva, Srila Narada Muni took leave of him, and vibrating on his Veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. We can just imagine, Prabhupada says, the extent and unlimitedness of Narada Muni's freedom, which is as good as that of the Supreme Lord. There is no reason or obligation for his traveling, and no one can stop him from his free movement. Similarly, the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. There is complete freedom attached to it. It is swatantra. It is independent and free. It may or may not develop in a particular person, even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. Similarly, the association of the devotee is also free. It means that it is enacted by the independent spirit and will of bhakti. One may be fortunate to have it, or one may not have it, even after thousands of endeavors. Therefore, in all spheres of devotional service, freedom is the main pivot. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. Without freedom, there is no love. There is no devotion. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. It does not become mechanical. No, there is a inconceivable complete dependence on Krishna's mercy and Krishna's internal energy, and at the same time there is an execution of his free will. To surrender unto the Lord through the transparent medium of the spiritual master is to attain complete freedom of life. And the final verse in this chapter, all glories and success to Sri Narada Muni. Because he glorifies the activities of the personality of Godhead, and so doing he himself takes pleasure and also enlivens all the distressed souls of this universe. Prabhupada's purport. Sri Narada Muni plays on his instrument to glorify the transcendental activities of the Lord and to give relief to all the miserable living entities of the universe.
No one is happy here within the universe, and what is felt as happiness is Maya's illusion. The illusory energy of the Lord is so strong that even the hog who lives on filthy stool feels happy. No one can be truly happy within the material world. Srila Narada Muni, in order to enlighten the miserable inhabitants, wanders everywhere. His mission is to get them back to home, back to Godhead. That is the mission of all genuine devotees of the Lord, following the footsteps of that great sage. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the first canto, sixth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Conversation Between Narada and Vyasa. Now, before we call for questions, I would like to spend a few minutes glorifying Narada Muni a little more with a taped song of a wonderful song written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Narada Muni Bhajai Veena Radhika Ramana Namane, sung by Nandanandana Prabhu in Vrindavan. Vinod Thakur. The purport of this song is that Narada Muni, the great soul, says, he's playing on his string instrument called a veena. Veena is a string instrument carried by Narada Muni. So he's playing on the instrument as he's vibrating the sound Radhika Raman. Krishna's name is Radhika Raman. As soon as he strokes on the strings, immediately, all the devotees begin to respond to him, and it becomes a very beautiful vibration. Amiya Dara Virishe Gana. And when the singing was going on with the stringed instrument, it appeared that there is a shower of nectar. And all the devotees, then in ecstasy, were dancing to the full extent of their satisfaction. And then, while they were dancing, it had appeared that they had become intoxicated by drinking the beverage called Madhuripura. And as one becomes mad, almost mad by drinking, similarly in ecstasy, all the devotees became mad. Some of them were crying, some of them were dancing, and some of them, although they could not dance publicly, within their hearts they were dancing. In this way, Lord Shiva immediately embraced Narada Muni, and he began to talk in ecstatic voice. Seeing that Lord Shiva is dancing with Narada Muni, Lord Brahma also joined in. And he began to say, all of you, kindly chant Hari Bol, Hari Bol. In this way, gradually, the king of heaven, Indra, he also joined with great satisfaction and began to dance and chant, Hari Hari Bol. Thus, by the influence of transcendental vibration of the holy name of God, the whole universe becomes ecstatic. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and the whole universe became ecstatic. Then my desire was satisfied, and I therefore pray unto the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami, that let this chanting of Harinam go on nicely like this. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Correctly, you're asking, Narada Muni, was his condition, his situation was quite unique, yes, that he was able to gain this in this life. So what should we do? We are not unique. We are just ordinary, foolish, conditioned souls. Some of us are even extraordinarily foolish. So what hope do we have? That's the question? Okay. So there's many ways to answer this question. First, I'll answer it by saying that if we don't think we have a hope, then we think there's no use to even trying. And if we think there's no use to even trying, we will just go to the pub instead of the temple. So it is very bad to think that there is no hope. And because it leads to what's the use of trying. So we always have to have, so that's one point. So we always have to have faith that Krishna can do something that's impossible. I am so contaminated, I'm so fallen, yet Krishna is so wonderful, he can turn even this horrible personality into a devotee by his grace, not due to my qualification or disqualification, just by his mercy. And then that will also put us in the consciousness, rather than giving up on Krishna consciousness, but depending upon Krishna. And this is one of the main qualities of a devotee, that although he may be so qualified in so many ways, he never depends on any of his own qualifications. He is fully dependent on Krishna. And this alone will bring us so close to Krishna's lotus feet. Another way to look at it is that considering we've been in the material world for unlimited births and even more unlimited time. Indeed, a lifetime of Lord Brahma is compared to the time it takes for lightning to flash over the ocean. So we've been in the material world for so long. So then if we just take to the process as described, because what was described by the Lord to Narada, he said that even if one takes to the process of devotional service even for a few days, it's just a matter of time before we become a personal associate of the Lord. So when we look at the time it will take us, we say that we have no qualification, like Narada had qualification. So say if it takes us, we can't do it in this birth. Say if it takes us two births. Or if we can't do it in two births, say if it takes us 10 births. Or say if we can't do it in 10 births, it takes us 1,000 births if we sincerely try. Still, that amount of time, compared to how long we've been in the material world, is not even a snap of a finger compared to a day. So it's another way to look at it. But what we want to avoid is feeling hopeless in the sense that there's no use in myself trying. What we want to do is just the opposite, is increase our hope, increase our desire, because if we increase our desire to go back to Godhead, there's nothing that Krishna can't do. But the reason what keeps us in the material world is our desire to be here. So we have to, not we have to, but it is intelligent to focus our consciousness on desiring to attain Krishna's lotus feet. It is in our own best interest to do that. And hoping for Krishna's mercy and concentrating our attention on getting that mercy. It depends on our seriousness. It depends on our desire. Ultimately, it doesn't depend either on our seriousness or our desire. It depends on Krishna's mercy. But there is no impetus for Krishna to give us his mercy unless our desire is strong. So although his mercy is causeless, and although we only get to heaven by grace, still we have our part to do, even our feeble steps to take, that will evoke that mercy and that grace. And then also, when we take our feeble steps to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates with that. Yayetam mam prapadyante. So he reciprocates with that. So it is always hopeful to move forward. I answered it just in the same way you would have answered it if you were sitting up here and someone asked you the question. That's one of the good things about giving class. Get to preach to yourself. Yes, do you want to?
Maharaj, there's one part within that.
Okay. But while you're finishing the question, I want you to look at that picture while you're saying it. And now you say it again. Parents, we're saying the problem is Krishna, right? That if he would reveal himself to me, then I'd give everything to him. And Krishna is saying, you take some steps. I will reciprocate with you with 100 steps for every step you take. Right of personal reply. But yet, Krishna is so kind that he even, especially as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar Mosama Patita Prabhu Napai Bayar. Our qualification is our fallenness, if we will accept that and depend on him. One time I said to Prabhupada, my only qualification is that I am a fool. And he said, yes, but you should not remain a fool. So that qualification is not sufficient unless we fully depend on Krishna. Yes. So compared to that, we're so close, we're at the door. So we should walk through. Yes, last comment. This should be a comment and a summation of points. One is so deep that only Bunky Prabhu can answer. In Hindi, too.
This is very deep. Only you can answer.
There's no prior to Narada Muni, because he takes his birth in the beginning of Brahma's day. But who did that before? Who did that before Narada Muni? This is all pastime. So something went on. But Krishna has not revealed it to me through the Bhagavatam. Don't worry. It's like when there's a starving man and he's so hungry, and someone walks over to him and says, here's some food. And the starving man looks at him and says, he says, who was doing this before you were doing this? I've been doing this for 2 years. Who was doing this before? And who was doing it before that person? And who was doing it before that person and that person? So our business is to grab that prasadam and nourish our soul. Okay? That's all I can answer.